In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. Big show for us today as week number two gets going in the National Football League. And that's always fun. We like it. And I don't want to sound like a coach. I don't want to sound like a player. I can't wait till they get back on the field and either put to rest a terrible game against the Dallas Cowboys or, Andy, raise the flag of concern by going to Jacksonville and looking like they looked against Dallas.
I think there's concern. You have to have concern based on just left tackle alone. The offensive line didn't look good. And so if you are or you're coming back with that same kind of offensive line this week without Jack Conklin, without Jed Wills, which I'm hoping at least one of those guys is back this week, there is going to be a level of concern. Panic? No. Concern? Yes.
Concern?
Yeah. I'm all concerned.
Right. Just left tackle? Is that the concern?
No, I think there's more to it than that. I got to be honest. I wonder what's floating around inside Deshaun's head right now. He's had a rough run. I mean, and some of it is self-inflicted. Let's be honest. I mean, he's got a lawsuit sitting there in front of him now that he just found out about this week. Who knows how that affects.
Perhaps self-inflicted.
Well, that's true.
Let's be fair.
There's no way that doesn't take its toll, whether it's self-inflicted or not. There's just no way. When someone's accusing you of something, you got to believe it's going to take its toll on your soul a little bit, don't you think?
I would think so, yes.
Yeah, that on top of the fact that, you know, no matter what his relationship was with his father, he passed away last week. And then you lose a teammate that was killed in a shooting that went to Clemson with him. I mean, those are all things that are...
get sacked six times by the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, there's the football part of it too. So I don't know how some of those things can't... He's human. He's human. So I got to think that some of those things have to be floating around and taking up space between his ears.
What do you think? What do you think is the real deal? Do you think the performance against Dallas is a real indicator of where this team is?
No, I don't,
and I'm not going to freak out about one game. But you go to Jacksonville and you lay another egg, you've got a problem.
Here's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that Dallas is really good and that we underestimated the way they would play. We thought that the Browns would be able to run the ball. That didn't happen. We thought the Browns defense would be able to get off the field. That didn't happen. You know, all of those concerns are there. And I think when I turn around in week five or week six and go, man, remember what happened in that Dallas game in the beginning? They were really good. Dallas was really good. And I think sometimes we don't have perspective because there's no depth there. There's only one game to look at. And you're going to sit there and you're going to harp on that one game over and over and over again. They weren't ready. The coaching staff wasn't ready. They were not prepared for that game on Sunday. Dallas was 100% ready, focused, and ready to, you know, take down the Browns. And that's what they did. I don't feel like the Browns were there.
I looked up something yesterday because I just the game has always stuck in my head. And it was Bud Carson's debut as head coach of the Browns. A 51-0 win over the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yep.
And I looked up because I thought, okay, the Browns game wasn't that bad this week against Dallas. And I just thought I'd check a couple things out. Steelers under Chuck Knoll lost 51-0. Next week, they lost to the Bengals 41-10. And the Steelers made the playoffs that year. After losing 51-0 in their first game, and 41-10 in their second game. They made the playoffs. They won a playoff game. They lost to Denver in the second round. Browns lost to Denver in the playoffs as well, eventually. But Bud Carson got him into the playoffs. But Pittsburgh, after such a debacle, and it's not, that's nothing about Pittsburgh or anything else. It's just, okay, that's one game. It could be just horrendous. But you better right the ship quickly enough. If they go to Jacksonville, Andy, and play well and lose, okay, you're 0-2. Now you go win some games and you get back on track. If you go to Jacksonville, play well and win, great. Then that's, you know, mission accomplished. If you go to Jacksonville and you look as discombobulated and as poor all the way around as you looked against Dallas, then you've got some issues.
There are two things that I kind of look at. You know, one, and I know it's a different sport, so I'll never, ever forget, and it's just burned into my mind, and it was even more burned into my mind this year because it was an anniversary year for it, but when the Indians beat the Yankees 22-0, and which was one of the best games, one of the most fun games I think I've ever seen live in person, right? And Omar has six hits. Jake Westbrook pitches unbelievable. I mean, they couldn't do anything wrong. But what leaves a sting in my mind is they lost the series. So, you know, they won that little battle that first night, and then they lost the series. And so, to me, it's a big picture perspective, I think, on sports sometimes. You know, hey, Cy Young lost 315 games, right? And he has an award named after him. So mistakes happen. Bad things happen every once in a while. And I think that's just the way you have to look at sports. So I'm just kind of hoping that Dallas is really good and that they just came out of the chute, ready to play.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We didn't.
Abner's on West Boulevard. What's up, Abner?
Abner!
Hi, guys. Sorry if you hear my Rottweilers. Their names are Watson Sucks. But I got a couple points I want to make, guys. Just a reminder of how good Deshaun Watson used to be. C.J. Stroud, who's a great quarterback, wasn't even near Watson when he was in Houston. I'm looking at articles right now. When the Texans drafted Watson, there was an article saying, if you pass up on Watson, it's like passing up on Michael Jordan. So this is how good Watson was. So it's a tragedy.
Oh, he was very good in Houston, Abner. There's no question.
Abner, what's the lesson here? Don't trust the media. That's what I say. Don't trust the media.
Okay, but no, he was very good. And a couple things I want to say, guys. This is going to screw us over very bad in the near future. And as much as I hate to say it, because I love Myles Garrett, I think we should explore the avenue of trading him for a few picks. Because this team is going to be in deep rebuild mode. Cooper's going to be gone next year. As much as I hate to say it, Garrett is in his prime, but he only has a few good years of holding that peak level because he's 28. He's about to turn 29.
If they can afford him, there's no reason to trade him. There's none. Why would you trade would you chase having the best defensive player in the league?
Or one of them.
Yeah, why would you chase that? If he's on your roster now, I just don't see it, Abner. I don't see trading him. Not now, at least.
This is why. Okay. Because I do not trust the Browns drafting a quarterback or getting a quarterback. History repeats itself, and since the Haslam's on them, it's been horrible. Horrible. So I don't trust them. We just need to get an average quarterback at least, which is something we should be able to do, and go from there because we need to recuperate from what we've done with Watson. And it's really bad, man. People keep saying it's just 1 week. No, it's been 3 years. And it's been horrible. Absolutely horrible. Right, gentlemen?
Wait, did we not make the playoffs last year? Where have you been since 99? We've made the playoffs three times. I don't think, even though they didn't play well in that game, that didn't feel horrible to me. I enjoyed that playoff game.
Can I ask you this?
Sure.
I ask you this just then?
Yeah.
If I were to tell you, hey, give me the top five worst franchises of the 21st century, the Browns would be in that list, and I think they'd be towards the top three of that list. Would you agree?
I don't know. It depends on what we're talking about.
Abner, thank you.
Yeah.
And that might be accurate. But guess what? That's in the past.
Yeah, the one-win season doesn't help. The no-win season.
No, it's been a terrible run. Except guess what? It's been a pretty good run under Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry.
Would he turn around and say the Guardians are one of the best franchises?
Well, I would think so. It's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
Patrick is in Hudson, home of the Explorers, and Dante Lavelli.
Oh, good one.
Hello, Patrick.
Good one.
Hey, guys, good morning. Thanks for having me on. No, like, I just wanted to say I read a very well-written article yesterday on Sports Illustrated, and it really just laid out exactly how his contract and the verbiage of it and exactly what the Browns would have if they would have his guarantee money be null and void. And I just find the whole thing, with all the timing of everything, he lays an egg week one, and now all of a sudden there's this brand-new allegation out that is far worse than any other allegation that came out before. And it just almost seems like the Browns have something in their back pocket that if this Watson thing doesn't work out, now all of a sudden they have an out for it. And I'm also curious if – I know Wednesday all quarterbacks are expected to talk to media, correct?
At least one of the days. At least one. They have
Wednesday
to speak.
Or Thursday.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, honestly, I would be shocked if the Browns let him talk to the media this week. I just think that he's never been
– It's a fine if they don't, if he's a starting quarterback.
And I think that they'll allow that fine to happen because the guy can't talk to media, especially when it comes to all the situations that he seems to put himself in. And I don't know, honestly, if I'm a betting man, I'd be shocked if he actually plays on Sunday. I think that something big is going to pop off with this.
All right, Patrick.
Hey, you never know.
I'd be surprised if he doesn't play on Sunday.
I'd be surprised if he doesn't talk to the media. He's just going to give you bland answers. I'd love to talk about it. Can't talk about it. He's already been down this road. He knows how to play that game. He knows what he's doing.
Browns had to make a bunch of moves today. They've made a move that I think is a sharp move. We'll talk about that again. Is the Dallas game a blip on the radar screen, or is that indicative of what we're going to see? I'm going with blip. It's Baskin and Phelps right here on The Fan.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.